People are still sleeping. The coffee has not quite kicked in. So just to give you some background on the group that's standing back here, as Pastor Steve said, we had a ministry for about 2 years called the Prophecy Rooms. And somewhat like the healing rooms that you're familiar with or the restoration ministry rooms, we opened every Thursday, the second and fourth Thursday of each month, and anybody who wanted a personal prophetic word could come and receive a personal prophetic word of encouragement. And so we did that for 2 years, and a lot of those that have been on this journey with me as it started. It originally started with the JSOM group, which was the Jubilee School of Ministry, and it just prepared people to walk in their gift, the gift of prophecy. So we did that for 2 years, and near the end of the season, which is about November, I felt that the door was closing on that style of ministry for the prophecy rooms, not saying healing rooms or restoration ministries, but for this, the Lord wanted to take it in a new direction, and I felt that in my spirit, but I didn't know exactly what he wanted to do. So just heard him say, close this season, and you're going to see what's going to unfold in the next one. So we did. And in November, we had quite a bit of traffic in the prophecy rooms. I guess the word had got out, you know, it kind of just, that this prophetic ministry was happening. And so we just received an influx of people the last couple meetings, and I thought, well, the Lord has something planned for this group, and but I just don't foresee us doing the rooms. And so after that, during the winter season, I began to seek the Lord, and I really felt him closing the door on that. And one day in passing, Pastor Steve said, have you heard what the Lord wants you to do in the coming season? And I said, you know, I think he wants us to do a night of prophecy. And I don't know what that looks like, but just going to continue to pray into that. We're a small group, and I don't know how we could even hold a service. So what we came up with was incorporating that into the Wednesday night service. So if you want a personal prophetic word, the prophecy rooms, unless the Lord changes it, the prophecy rooms ministry that you're all used to will not be happening every second and fourth Thursday. But you're going to check your calendar for a night of prophecy, and that's where you will be able to come and get your personal prophetic word, if that's what the Lord intends to do on that night. We're going to follow whatever he wants to do. So another role that this team is doing is supporting what the Lord is doing in this house. So he has taken this group from a way of thinking in ministry to say, I come on this day and I serve at this time, to kind of enlarge it to what the Lord is doing and how do I become involved in that expression as it changes and as it moves, so that we are a prophetic people moving as one sound, one expression. So it's really interesting how it's, as as our first assignment is the Champions Conference, we come on Monday night and we join in prayer, hearing and seeing what the Lord is doing, what the Lord is speaking. And as the Lord leads this group, we just become a part of that expression, however he decides to use each one of us. So it's been really fun, and so far the Lord has been very quiet about his steps. So if you ask us, well, what are you going to do? We'll say, I don't know. What are you going to speak on? I don't know. What are you going to say? I don't know. All he's doing is just filling us, and then he's just going to launch us. So what is going to take place this morning is all unrehearsed. All we have done is the practice of hearing and seeing in his presence. That's it. And every time we ask, well, what do you want to do? He says, I got it covered. So what a glorious expression and a ministry to allow the Holy Spirit to be who he is, because we put him in so many boundaries. And in this time, in the Champions Conference, I can just hear the Spirit saying that I'm taking you on a transition from here and to here, right? So we're on this journey of moving from one place to another place. Okay, so right now we're here. We've learned as a corporate body that we are friends of God, right? And he's moved us in a way together corporately that enlarged our view on what a friend of God is in relationship and intimacy. And then as a corporate body, he's then taken us into another expression where now we understand relationship and identity and a little bit more. And he said, but you know, now I'm going to teach you to behold my glory behind the veil, because I want you to understand, not only individually and personally, but as a corporate body, your identity, not only how you fit together in pieces. And in the way I transform your thinking from glory to glory is behind the veil, in that place. So we had to enter into that place of practicing, beholding, and learning to be transformed in his presence. So on this journey, we're going, all the sheep coming together, moving together, and now we're in another place where there's another door and another window open for us to enter into. But in that very same way, we have to be prepared, because where he's taking us, again, needs the transformation of the mind. Because the boundaries that we have, as you know, we don't really know we have them until he just unveils it before us. So as I listen in the Champions intercession that we make before God, we hear several things. We hear identity. We hear love, we hear faith, we hear hope, and inheritance. Now, there may be more that will be revealed as they come forth, but these are the areas that the Lord is touching. So as we hear and as we kind of understand that we're moving from one place to another, and that we're understanding the way we see today is not necessarily going to get us to that place, that we have to think differently about these things. So new revelation pours forth on my identity, on my, the way I think about love, the way I think about faith, the way I think about hope, and my inheritance. Okay? So if I can't get there on my own, then the practice, once again, is dependency on the Holy Spirit, both in my time before Him and when we're gathered corporately to hear the sound, okay? Because I can tell, just, and you probably know, that this place that He's taking me, I'm not going to want to go. I'm not going to want to be in this spot. There's something in my thinking and in the way my flesh will respond to this area. So again, Holy Spirit, come. Let the revelation, let the light come forth to change my thinking so that this transition I can do. I can occupy this new place that He has for me. And so as you listen to the sound that comes forth from this group, that's what they've been doing, going behind the veil and getting the renewed mind, the renewed thinking to enter into this place. So I'll just start with identity, and then we'll see how the Lord wants to unfold it. The Lord has given each one a scripture and a message, and as I touch upon something, feel free to come up and share what the Lord is prompting you to share, okay? One thing I want to, you know, identity. I always hear, doesn't the body of Christ know who they are? I mean, you hear that all the time. Don't you think that by now we should know who we are in Christ? But I look at that a little differently, and I start by looking at the Word. If I'm created in the very image of God and His likeness no one can understand, then how can I even know a glimpse of who I really am? It's something that just needs to be unfolded as He causes me to know His likeness. So whenever I hear, don't you know who I am? I'm His. And He's causing me to know what that really means. When He says He's chosen me before the creation of the world, I'm chosen in Him. That means to me that I have an identity, and an eternal identity that I know nothing about. That I am exploring with Him day by day. And if I was formed before the creation of the world, then that makes me and you more important than the world itself. So our identity and the way the Father looks at us and the way we walk with the Father in Jesus in relationship needs to be enlarged in our thinking, that everything we think about, everything that we need to see with the eyes of an eternal perspective. You hear that all the time. So when you go to your job and you go, this is what I am, I'm a garbage collector. The Father does not look at that. That's not your eternal identity. And your position in Christ and what people look at is not what He looks at. He looks at something entirely different. He's not in an achievement-based promotional, now you've achieved something because you're in Christ. So there's no stepping ladder to say, now I have arrived. This is who I am. So all our achievements are kind of laid out, and it causes us to think differently, to go, well, what? Then what is my identity? Who am I? If the Father doesn't see me as a mortgage banker, then who am I? And I believe that that's what He's going to unfold at the Champions Conference, and even more so, the way we think. Because in order for one to advance to a different place, and you've heard this coming, you have to let go. And sometimes you don't know how to let go or what to let go because you don't understand how the Father looks at something. So you want to hold on to something that seems important, that has value, but He enlarges your view to say, This is temporal. This is something that I need to change your thinking, because this has no eternal value. So now as we behold how the Father sees, we then turn and say, I'm walking over here now to what really matters. And I think that all of us can say that we need a little help by the illumination of the Holy Spirit of what's important to Jesus and what is important to the Father, because it's all been purchased by His blood. So the only thing that really matters in this place, in the eyes of eternity, is that which is purchased by His blood. Everything else doesn't matter. So in this Champions Conference, I believe, is going to help unveil and give us tools and give us a new outlook so that we can transition and make that transition from here to there. So identity.
There's call somebody. You by name. I call you by name in the morning dew. I call you by name at the evening's waning. I call you by name to call you to me. I call you by your name because I wrote your name in the palm of my hand.
Something that the Lord has been talking about by His Spirit is,
if you will come,
is following the Lamb of God as lambs led to the slaughter. And something that the Lord has been speaking to me a lot about in that is that we need to know the hope of our calling before we do that. Because Jesus, as he girds himself with the the towel, and he stoops down to wash the disciples' feet. Right before that, in John's account, it says, Jesus, knowing that everything was in his hands, knowing that he was from God and going to God, then he stooped down to serve. And we can't serve with the right mind unless we know that we've been given everything first. And talking about identity, Paul says, don't you know that you'll judge angels? And so this hope of our calling, it's so great, it's so large, the natural mind can't see it. It's by revelation of from the Lord. So, Lord, we just thank you that you're revealing to us what we're called to. You're revealing to us the hope of our calling, and you are enlightening our hearts to know that the glory of your riches and the inheritance in the saints. So we welcome the grandness of your vision, Lord, because without your vision, we don't know where to go and we perish. But with your vision, Lord, we can walk as those lambs led to the slaughter, and it's easy. It's easy, and it's Lord, the joy set before us is just, it makes it so worthy. That path is, it just makes that path such a worthy calling. So we just thank you, Lord.
I can give it back to Gaynor, if you want. Anybody else have anything to share on identity? Before we go on. Yeah, okay.
So as I was back there, I felt the Lord prompting me to share this. My mom and dad got separated when I was 2. The last time I saw my dad, I was about 6 years old. And so trying to find Father God was so hard because I could go to Jesus easily and tell him about all of my worries and fears. But to go to God was so hard because he's the Father. And I'm like, who is my Father? And one day he just led me to read out of the book of Acts, and I was reading Acts 27, verse 23. And it says, for there stood by me this night an angel of God, to whom I belong and to whom I serve. And when I read Paul saying that about God, that he belongs to God, I just felt like a blanket got placed over me. And I was like, oh my God, this is who I belong to. This is who I serve. And now, like, when I read everything and every good promise that he has, I know that it's for me because his thoughts towards me are only good. And when I read Jeremiah 29:11, it's like, oh my God, that's for me. Thank you. You're so good. And even though I don't know, like, my biological father that well, my heavenly Father is so awesome and so amazing, and he thinks you're amazing, and he thinks I'm amazing. And then when you read about everything that Jesus did, it's like, that's my dad. Have you read about my dad? He is so awesome. He's so good. And then just in general, when you just, when the Lord speaks to you, it's like, oh my gosh, no matter what circumstance is coming your way, no matter what is facing you, no matter what is going on in your life, you belong to God. He is yours and you are his, and his promises are for you. And I just pray that everyone would just walk in that knowing that they belong to God because you are his treasure and he is your treasure.
As we came out of the prayer room, I have identity, and plus I have inheritance, because I had lost my identity as a young girl. But this morning in Acts 26, where Paul was recounting his conversion, the Lord brought me to Acts 26:17. He says, I will deliver you from the Jewish people and as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now sent you to open the eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and as an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. I'll give you a little, just a little account. When I was a little girl, I was abused. And then when I got married my first time, I was beaten to the pulp, to the point where I had a knife to my neck. My face was totally bruised up completely. 9 months pregnant, I was kicked around, tossed around. I had lost everything of myself. I had no identity. And then plus, when I was a little girl, I was molested and so on and so on. But when I surrendered my life to the Lord, He totally started my journey of forgiveness. And I had to forgive those people that defiled me. And it was the most hardest thing that I could ever do. But by faith, because I love so God, because I heard His voice for the very first time that He was going to take care of me and my daughters, I knew that I was His. But because Satan comes and just totally messes with your brain, and you lose your identity, you have God here, but yet you're kind of like you're on a go, and then you lose balance, or you lose momentum to serve God. And so even now is like I've gotten to the point, Pastor Steve, thank you. Thank you for being so bold and the love of God in your life that flows through this whole entire congregation. So when I was broken, I came here and it was like I came to a hospital and people just surrounded me and loved me and just prayed for me. I mean, it's unbelievable. But what God was showing me this last night, He said, I'm not a baker. You know, I know how to cook, but baking is not my profane. But the Lord showed me, He says, when you make bread, there's an ingredient, and that ingredient is flour, yeast, salt, baking soda, and whatnot. But what He pointed out to me is the yeast that makes the bread rise up. And He says, forgiveness is that yeast. Unless we forgive, there is no going forward. There is no going forward. And I had to forgive for me to go forward. The hardest thing for me to do, but I had to even go to the person face to face and said, I forgive you for what you have done to me. And even when my ex-husband, when he beat me to the pulp, he passed away 5 years ago. And the Lord gave me a vision, and I saw Him. Literally, I saw Him face to face, and He looked at me, and I looked at Him. He says, don't worry about my daughters. He says, and I looked at Him, and I said, I just like, oh, my gosh. And I felt in my spirit saying to Him, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. What I did, I don't know, but God had me tell Him that I was sorry. He did it for me, actually, because I had to be set free for what He had done. I never had the opportunity to say that to Him. But an inheritance, the Lord also gave me Isaiah 61:17. And He says, because you have gotten double dose of trouble and more than your share of content would be shame. He says, your inheritance is in the land will be double, and your joy goes on forever. Amen.
Yolanda.
Father, we just come before you right now, and I just so thank you. Thank you for not setting me free, and thank you for setting your sons and your daughters here at Jubilee and across the four corners of the earth, setting them free. I thank you, Father God, that you are bringing us and giving us the revelation of our identity is in you. In your identity, you cast out devils. Your identity, you heal the sick. Your identity, Father God, you opened up the Red Sea, Father God. Your identity, Father God, you brought Lazarus from the grave. And so, Father, I thank you for that revelation of who we are in you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
We have, I think it's 10 after. How much time do we have? It's 55 minutes? Okay.
Good morning, Jubilee. When we were receiving communion, what the Lord showed me was with one family, and I don't know, Lydia, if you're still here, but there was a woman who came in with her two children, and her son looked at her and said, "Can I receive communion?" Because sometimes they go to Catholic church, and the little boy's denied. And so she said, "Yes, son, you can step in." And what the Lord showed me was it goes directly to the scripture that says, let the little children come to me. And so this mom was obedient enough to allow the Lord to be released in this son's life, but also then for this little boy to receive communion, to have that relationship with the Lord. So that's, as parents, that's what we're supposed to do, is we're supposed to release the kids so that they can receive their identity and true calling in the Lord. And I saw that with all the flags here at Jubilee, that you will bless other countries. But I saw that the Lord said, you know, the countries also have an identity, a calling, what God has called them to be. And because you've put it here in you've made contact, because, you know, we pray for the nations, but there's also a context too. And so the Lord will bless Jubilee as you've stepped out in that faith.
Did you want to pray it out? Pray it out.
So Lord, we pray this, we release the inheritance, Father God, into our children, into the next generation and the following generation, Lord. That we say you are blessed. You are blessed because you belong to the Lord. You belong to God, our Heavenly Father. And that the Lord would so fill your destiny and so fill your dreams, that it says in the Word that our thoughts are not God's thoughts, nor our ways His ways. And so, Father God, have your way with us. In each and all generations, we bless them going forward. We bless to the 1,000th generation in front of us, Father God. We thank you, Heavenly Father. We even ask, Father God, that you would, for whatever reason, any of these generations, Father God, didn't fulfill the promises of that ancestral line, Father God, that we ask that it would come forward and be magnified in those that continue on in the process, Father God. We thank you, Father God, and we bless the countries. We bless the countries of this earth, Father God. That there are many people, that many tribes, many nations, many tongues, Father God, that know you. And so we ask that your word would be spread to all the ends of the earth, Father God. And may it start here at Jubilee. May we just be like one speck, Father God, on this earth. But we totally so believe in your word going forward, Father God. So we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Nicole? How did I know? Okay, let me just say one thing before you go, because you're going to also close in prayer. Well, that's good. I hear the voice of the Lord. Yeah, I knew you were supposed to finish. So I just want to say, come and join us on Wednesday night so we can release all that the Lord has put within us. Come for personal prophetic ministry. If you're on the web, I believe that the Lord is going to have a special treat for people, and it will be no different than when if you're here or on the web. So I just believe that he is going to reach out to those who can't make it even here to the sanctuary. So go ahead, and it's...
Just when I was sitting back there, I started seeing envelopes when I was kind of waiting on the Lord asking about it, but I felt like he was saying that he's restoring storehouses, so just reach out and take hold of what it is. Mm-hmm. And then just for you in the front, I was seeing the Lord, he was telling me new colors. He's got new colors for you. And for Pastor Steve, I'm hearing more floor, so I'm not sure if that's just you down before the Lord. And I was also hearing when they were talking about identity that the Lord was calling us his royal bouquet, that we've all been handpicked to be here, just gathered by him. And each flower is unique and their scent's unique. And I just keep hearing that he's ready to roar over you guys. Not just over you, but in you and through you. I just hear him breathing life into the dry bones, into your hopes and your dreams again. You guys have a face, you have a purpose, you are known by God, you are chosen. There's people that God's called you to go places and to do things, and he's put those dreams and hopes in you. And I feel like he's saying that he's going to bring them to pass. John and Michelle, you guys, oh my gosh, I feel like you guys are going to be going out, like where you haven't been able to go out two by two, husband and wife, I feel like the Lord's bringing that. And I just feel like he's saying he's going to take care of the rest. Just for the lady over here in the white, I just feel like the Lord wants you to know how much he loves you, that he has his eye on you. And so, Lord, I just want to thank you for Jubilee, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, just for every person, every family, Lord God, the people who are online, Lord God. And I thank you for everyone who wasn't able to be here, Lord God. And, Lord, I just thank you that we're found in you, Lord God. I thank you that our hope is in you, Lord God, our faith, Lord God. And Lord, I just ask you, Lord God, that you would just bring restoration, Lord God, into every place of our hearts, Lord God, into our lives, Lord God. Just thank you for your joy, Jesus. And Lord God, we just love you, Lord God, and thank you for a place where you're welcome, Lord God, and we just worship you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. In Jesus' name,
amen. Amen.